Let me tell you, that walk with God, I don't ever want to go back to my old walk with God. You know, when I stepped over into this one, I mean, I loved it and I want to stay there all the time. So the Lord says there, then he says the first, he tells us, you shall not offer the blood of your sacrifice with unleavened bread, which too many churches do that. I don't do that at our church at all. But then in verse 19 says, the first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. Now then, how many people do you know that do not give God the first fruits of their increase? I mean, there's not very many tithers. I mean, some people teach against tithing. Well, I run into an old Jewish guy here a while back, and he was an older, real settled in the Word, studied the Word in detail. And I said, what do you think about tithing? You've been in the Word. You're a Jewish man. You read in Hebrew, everything. He said, oh, you run into any pastor that says all you got to do is tithe, take him up. I said, what do you mean? He said, God really wants it all. He said, if you only have to give 10%, said, better take him up on that, because said, God wants you and all your money. I said, wow, okay. But the Lord tells us here to bring the first of the first fruits of your land so that you bring it into the house of the Lord thy God. And then when he tells you to do that, I've in all the churches I've been a part of, usually in the Baptist churches I was in, anywhere from 15 to 30% of the congregation were tithers. And the rest of them either gave a little or nothing. You know, and so you look and you see people that are not blessed, and it's never the ones that were the tithers. They were always blessed. They had money to give away. They were able to make their money go further. So I have learned over the years, in fact, I remember when I first started that as a young man, I was in the Air Force and I was making $40 a week. And I was giving a dollar a week when I went to church, which was most of the Sundays. But I remember that Sunday when the offering plate was passed, the guy's going down here passing the plate out, and I took the plate and I put my dollar in, passed it on to the next guy. I remember when that preacher preached. Of course, I was sitting way back there somewhere, you know. That preacher was preaching, and he was preaching on tithing that day. He said, there's some people that'll come to the house of the Lord, and when the offering plate's passed, they'll put a lousy dollar bill in the offering plate. And when I looked up, guess where that finger was pointing? I mean, at me. He had no idea what I put in that plate, but I know, when I looked up, I thought, whoa, he's talking about me. I went home that day and I said, you know, I don't see how in the world I cannot make it from payday to payday right now. I mean, that $40 a week is no way I got enough money to make it. I said, Lord, if I give you $4 a week instead of a dollar a week, I don't see any way possible that you can make it work. But I started giving $4 a week, and I never missed a payday with nobody yet. It's amazing how that God provided for me over all that time when I begin to do what he says do in his word. Yes, I realize, like Terry said, this is under the law. But, hey, I can show you several places under the New Testament where he tells us to tithe too, can't you? Sure he does. He never has changed this. We're still supposed to be givers and tithers. Okay, now, of course, if we don't do these things, now these are things he tells us to do. Let's go to the next couple of verses. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Now, he's, talking to the children of Israel here. Beware of this angel and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Now, how would you like for God to send an angel to guide you somewhere, and if you make a mistake, the angel was going to kill you? You know, in the New Testament, I don't know if you know it or not, it's not one of the scriptures I put on my list, but in the New Testament, there was a man by the name of Herod, and he had written an article, and then he spoke it. And when he spoke it, the people said, this is not the voice of a man. This is the voice of a God. And Herod strutted his self saying, oh, look at me. Ain't I somebody? And he would refuse to give glory to God for his abilities. And his angel, anybody know what his angel done to him? Killed him. Right there on the spot. His angel killed him right in front. He's the king. But his angel killed him right in front of the people, and it said the people watched the worms eat his body because he would not give glory to God. Isn't that awful? See, be careful. Today we do live under the age of grace, and you better be glad that we live in the age of grace, because more of us would be sick than are sick because of the silly things we do. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Now then, next couple of verses. But if you shall indeed, now listen, look at this. But if you shall indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I, God, will be an enemy unto your enemies and an adversary unto your adversaries. An adversary unto your adversaries. Now, if God is on your side, you're in good shape. If he's against you, you're in big trouble. And most people don't realize that we, as Christians living in grace, we can be an adversary to God. You know, we can be against him. So if we're against him, he will be against us. And it's amazing, as you see this, for mine angel shall go before you and bring you in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I, God, will cut them off for you. So he's going to fight our battles if we indeed obey his voice. Okay. Verse 24, thou shalt not bow down to their gods. Now then, when I used to read these kind of scriptures, and they're all over the Testament, old and new, I thought, if I shall not bow down to their gods, that means to walk with God and to see him do miracles, I'm going to have to turn off the world. So I quit watching television. I quit watching any kind of movies. I quit going to movies. I stopped listening to secular radio. You know, I stopped reading magazines. I stopped reading the newspaper. I turned myself off to the world, and I turned myself on to God. If I want to read something now, this is what I read, the Holy Bible. I will have to say that within the last year and a half, since I've gotten back into aviation a little bit, and we've started flying a few places, going in our own airplane to certain places, I have read a few little things about flying again. And I've had to learn some things, you know. So I have to be safe in flying an airplane, and I have to keep up with the regulations. So I do read a little bit about flying, but I haven't done that even in many, many years. But I do just what I have to. I don't dwell on a lot of stuff about flying, just enough to make sure I'm current and that I'm up to date on everything. But I don't want to put that in place of God, because that would upset him. You know that? He said, I'm to put him first. We shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. Now then, you know, that's something that we don't do a very good job of today as the children of God. We don't obey the king. We watch too much television. We watch too many movies, listen to too much radio, listen to the wrong kind of songs, and all these kind of things. And when we do this, this is not putting God first. When you're not putting God first, under grace, this will make you sick. One of the things that I have learned, I have prayed for several men especially, not near so many women in this area, but many men I have prayed for with terminal cancer, their sin was they didn't put God first. And the Lord showed us. I've had men, in fact, the very first man that I ever prayed for with terminal cancer, he was 42 years old. 42. And this man, if you'd ask me, is this man a good Christian? I'd have had to said yes, because if you come to church every Sunday, I said we have church service in Sunday morning. Here we only have them Sunday afternoon, but some places have it Sunday morning and Sunday night. So if you come to church Sunday morning and Sunday night, and then you come back once in a while even on Wednesday night, would you consider that person a pretty good Christian if they're at church every Sunday? Huh? I mean, you ask me, if I see somebody in here every Sunday afternoon, I mean, they're here before the service starts, they're here after it's over, they're taking part, they're praying with people, doing all kinds of things, ministering, going out maybe to another teaching of some kind during the week, or coming back to Tuesday night Bible study, you think, man, these people are on fire for Jesus. But yet then they come down sick, and they come in to be prayed for. In fact, I had a little girl here a while back. I'll throw this little case in there. Here a while back at Tuesday night Bible study, which we have started again, by the way. We started last Tuesday. We have Tuesday night Bible study every Tuesday night here now from 7 till 9. But in Tuesday night Bible study in Dallas, there was a little girl walked in one afternoon, and her neck is all twisted over like this. I said, "What's wrong with you?" She said, "Before the night's over, you got to pray for me. I have a crick in my neck." I said, "Okay." So that night I'm teaching in Philippians chapter 2. And when I come to Philippians 2:14, it says, "Do all things without murmuring and complaining." You must have heard this story before, huh? And it must have touched you then, huh? Why did it touch us? Because we do too much grumbling and complaining. Is that right? We don't realize how much we grumble and complain, do we? Did God tell us in His Word under the New Covenant to do a few things without grumbling or complaining? Or did He say do everything without grumbling and complaining? Well, then why don't we believe Him? Well, you know, most of us don't know that. Isn't that true? Most of us have read the Bible, but it didn't stick, did it? I mean, I know it didn't for me either for years. But this little girl, when I read that, I said, now, if you grumble and complain, I said, it will bring sickness and disease to your body because you're disobeying the King. And she thought, oh, my goodness.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.